Thank you, Marcia. I want to thank Paul Kendall for providing our ashes tonight. Thanks to our choir and our organist, our liturgist, for leading worship tonight in so many ways. Thanks to our altar guild for preparing our chancel area and our sanctuary, too. And thanks to our worship committee for orchestrating our meal tonight. Thank you for those of you who have brought soup and food. Thank you for those who helped with the setup and the cleanup as well. Thank you so much for doing that. With warm soup inside of us, it's going to be a little bit of a tight thing to sort of stay awake, isn't it? I don't know how you're feeling, but my soup is just settling wonderfully in my being. So I'm going to ask a favor of you tonight. This is congregation participation time. Okay, so most of you are sitting with someone near you in some way. So here's what I would like for you to do. Turn to the person on your right or to your left and ask them this question. Ask them to name a place that you have gone to and want to return to but haven't yet. Where's a place that you've gone to and you want to return but you haven't gone yet? Now, popcorn answers, just sort of call out some of those places that you've gone to already and you want to go back to but you haven't quite gone yet. What are they? All right. To what was that?
Bermuda.
To Bermuda. Okay. What? Well, Hawaii.
Ohio.
Say it again.
Ohio.
Venice, Ohio.
Camp Glisson.
Camp Glisson. Okay. All right. Now here's the second question. Turn to that person or to someone new. And if you ask, you talk the first time, let them talk this time. Name a place that you have gone back to. Name a place that you've gone to and you've gone back to. Find out whether it's a second time or even a third time. Okay, go ahead. A place you have gone back to more than once. All right, let me start with the choir this time because last time I got about 15 answers and I hardly heard of one of them. So let me start with the choir. Where's a place that you have gone back to?
Alaska,
Myrtle Beach.
Italy.
New Bern, North Carolina.
London.
London. Okay. Now let me ask on this side, where have you gone back to?
New Orleans.
Savannah, New York City. California.
Paris.
Okay.
Mountains.
To the mountains. All right. How about over here on this side? Where have you gone to? And you've gone back maybe a second or third time.
New York.
Myrtle Beach.
Orlando.
Anybody else?
Alexandra,
Hatteras. Thank you, Milton. Isn't it fun to go back to a place that you've already been to, you have some familiarity with, and you get a chance to go back there and maybe revisit those areas and then maybe even see new areas as well? In the Old Testament, when it talks about going back, when the Lord says, "Return to me," there's a presumption you've been there before. And when we talk about return to me, says the Lord, we're talking about two things. Generally speaking, we're talking about two things. We're talking about coming back to the ways of the Lord. Coming back to the ways of the Lord that often get so watered down or even forgotten in our fast-paced world. And with that also comes a second thing, a call to examine or to re-examine our lives, and that by God's grace, make the adjustments necessary to experience the abundant life that Jesus came to give. Come on back, the scriptures say. Come on back because Christ wants you to experience renewal. We can use Lent as a kind of a spiritual checkup, a kind of a spiritual barometer. And when we seek and ask for the grace that opens our lives to the Word and to the ways and the purposes of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, then we are brought more into alignment with the mind of Christ and the love of Christ, And then when Easter comes, we will experience new life. We will experience that renewal. Come back, the scriptures say, and discover both ancient and new creative ways to live your faith. You see, up to and in Joel's time, one sign of feeling remorse for their sins and returning to the Lord was by tearing their clothes. They did it when they were very upset about something. And here, they were upset about letting their relationship with God go lax. They felt real remorse and anguish about that. They knew that God was a good God. The one who healed them. The one who delivered them from Pharaoh. From slavery, from oppression. And that tearing of clothes was a sacrificial thing to do because clothes were expensive. They weren't easily replaceable. And sometimes they would put on sackcloth instead of those clothes. They would cover a part of themselves with ashes or dust. They would fast. In fact, the first chapter of Job talks about times when someone even shaved their head. Anybody up for that this Lent? I'm 3/4 of the way there. Now, our society has sort of co-opted this spiritual value and this practice in several ways. Some of the ways that we do that is that some wear black to a funeral. Our nation lowers the flag to half staff. Women in some societies still wear a veil when in mourning. All of these things are sort of new ways for us to express the same anguish and grief and concern, all to convey that. I saw something that I had never seen before when I was on I-95 last week going up to visit my dad. You know those designer car window decals that say in memory of? Have you seen some of those? I saw one with a high resolution photo of a mother. Never seen that before. It was nicely done. Beautiful artistic work, but for my taste, a bit unusual. I've seen pictures of pets. I've seen pictures of other things, or just a rest in peace or love you. But that was really unusual for me to see. It looked like she could smile and wave back. The picture was sort of, if you're driving down the road behind me, the picture looked like this. Okay? It looked like that, like the arm was back up on the seat. I'd never seen anything like that before in my life. It looked like she could smile and wave back. It really did. It was so well done. And I sort of smiled when I saw it. I thought, well, now, wow, that's unique. That's creative. But I also thought about how much that person was grieving. How much they really must have missed their mother. I've been thinking about how to practice Lent creatively this year. Some years I've fasted from or been more disciplined about chocolate, red meat, eating out, spending decisions, beverages, social media. This Lent, I'm going to even be more disciplined about using less plastic. Cut back as much as I can. I think it appeals to the environmentalist in me. And I'm glad we have recycling bins here at Bethany. I hope we keep them. I hope we keep using them. Please use them. Because, you know, until the next most efficient means comes along, you know, we got to recycle. But, you know, as Christians, we're encouraged to practice Lent not only by not doing something, but adding something in its place, okay? If you're stopping eating something during Lent, only to resume Easter afternoon, that's not fasting, that's dieting. There's a difference. There's a difference, okay? For me, it's going to be adding in exercise and prayer walking. Pray for me. Pray for me on that. Joel says, come on back. Come on back. Because Christ has a word for you. Joel had a word from the Lord. He said, you know, God says that when we're feeling sorry for our sins and desire to come back to Him, God's saying, don't tear your clothes. Tear open your heart. Open your spirit and open your mind. See, tradition had told them for centuries to tear their clothes as a sign of grief and a sign of remorse and anguish. But Joel says, you know, God has a new word for you right now. Open up your heart, not your clothing. Return to the Lord, for He's merciful and compassionate. He's very patient. He's full of love. He's ready to forgive and restore. I believe that Christ has a word for each one of you this Lent. Open yourselves to the gospel, to Jesus' passion, to your neighbors, whom Christ said we are to love as ourselves. Come on back. Come on back because Christ knows that you're dealing with pain in your life. Christ knows you're dealing with anguish. So you could begin by asking yourself, where is the pain and the anguish in my life? Where's the pain and the anguish in our world? The results of our special session of General Conference has folks around the world and on all sides of the issues feeling hurt and grief and dissatisfaction and confusion. And I know you're hurting. I know you're wondering what it all means and how is it all going to impact us here at Bethany. And I'm talking with some of our leaders about how we can be the church to one another. And then I would say, come on back, because we're not promised time. We're not promised a next chance to make amends. One of the things about Ash Wednesday and Lent is that it makes us come face to face, not just with our sinfulness, but with our mortality. And the good news is that both of them have been triumphed through the death and the resurrection of Christ. The cleansing power is available to all who will come. Use this season to begin your faith walk or to rejuvenate your faith. And do it now. Don't wait. I urge you to start now. God is ready and willing to start now. Don't wait. And then come on back. Because Christ wants you to walk in confidence and in assurance. We can enter this Lenten season with the certainty that when we yield our hearts in repentance, that God in His mercy and His compassion and justice and patience and love will hear our prayers, will receive and restore and empower us as His church in our relationship with Him through Christ and with each other. So to summarize, come on back because Christ wants you to experience renewal, because Christ has a word for you, because Christ knows that you're dealing with pain and anguish in your life, because we're not promised time or a next chance to make amends, and because Christ wants you to walk in confidence and in assurance. Let's together enter into a holy Lent. Holy in your thoughts, in your words, in your worship, in your prayers, in your acts of kindness. Draw close to Jesus this Lent. Let your light shine. Open your heart. come on back.